his namesake that he's well known for is Ali Khan. And we're learning together on a day-to-day basis, part one. Part one, he's giving basically a guideline for how to be successful in yeshiva. After he wrote that, then people said to him, Rebbe, we love your Torah, but it's not explained enough, it's not elaborate enough. Could you write another one where you go into more detail and explain ideas in more depth? And he agreed and he wrote part two, and as you can see, part two is more than double the size of part one. And here he goes into a lot of the topics he talks about in Ari Shor part one, and he elaborates on them greatly. He talks about what it means to be a Ben Adam, like even before Torah, but to be an Adam on the level of Derech Eretz, what that means from a Torah perspective. He has a whole section on Torah, and just those two topics of Adam and Torah, that's 120 pages there, which that's just on those two topics. And then he goes through what is learning Musar, how to learn Musar on a more thorough level. And then he takes particular middos, and he goes one by one through all the different middos, and he gives vadim, chaburas on those middos, anger, charity, honor, arrogance, zrizos, depth of thought, appreciation, emunah. He has many topics, simcha, he has many topics that he goes through much more detail, and those are vadim that he gave over. Then he goes to the order of the day, the order of one's day, and then he goes to the moed, which is what we're going to do one section of now on Purim. And after that, he has another three topics, which are also middos, but he wanted to go into them in much more level detail, because he felt they were crucial ones, Yiras Shamayim, Emes, and Bikachon and Hashem. And he concludes with the topic of Chaim. So that was just a broad overview of what this book is. So we're on the section of Purim. And I want to just read the one chapter, which obviously there are many, many aspects, angles of how to do Purim and how to approach Purim in an Avodah Hashem way. He takes a very unique one. It's not the one which is usually emphasized. In fact, it's quite the opposite of what is usually emphasized. And I wanted to give you the Ali Shor's attitude, mindset towards Avodah Hashem on Purim. He starts off by saying that there are different types of miracles. There are some miracles which are supernatural, like Kriyas Yamsuf, splitting and having dry land. And there are some miracles which are within nature, for example, and they were on a constant basis. For example, the Aaron and the Kruvim didn't take any space. Now that's supernatural, but meaning it was something which you go there was no space, but it was something which continued on a constant basis. That was there for many, many years, decades, and even centuries. There was a place in the world where there was no space. Another example of a miracle is Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, who told the Shemen that it should, he said that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who says that Shemen can burn, that oil can burn, he also said that vinegar can burn, and it burned. HaChomet lo nehepach l'shemen. It wasn't that a miracle took place whereby the oil miraculously, the vinegar miraculously transformed into oil. Rather what happened was, the vinegar, which can burn a little bit, continue to burn for longer. That's still working within the laws of nature, just something which is not as supernatural, not something totally transforming what it is, just it doesn't normally burn so long, and here it burned for a longer period of time. That's category number two. And then when we come to the story of Purim, that's something where there's no miracle at all. Everything is totally within nature. I mean, there's a supernatural like makkas. There's the partially supernatural, like something which is ongoing and vinegar is burning. And then there's the, you don't even see Hashem whatsoever. B'neis kezeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu legamrei mutzna. And this type of a miracle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely hidden. It's a total illusion that you see Hashem there. Now otherwise you see Hashem clearly. Here you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. Everything is totally hidden. Kezeh haya neis purim. And the Maharal writes, the miracle of Purim was so hidden. So this is more of a Kabbalistic idea, but the higher something is spiritually, then the less defined and broken down it is. When something is in this world and it's very very tangible, then it's more clear to us, we're able to relate to it. When you have an idea which is such a lofty idea that you almost don't want to break it down into words because it's so crystallized in its original form. So from our perspective, that's hidden, right? If we haven't revealed the secret yet, and it hasn't become clear yet because it hasn't been expressed in this world, then sometimes when I have an emotion which is so strong, I don't want to put words to it. I want to leave it in the raw emotion of what I feel, because any words I would give would betray the pure emotion that I feel. The miracle of Purim is absolutely hidden. You don't see it at all. Everything looks natural. Meaning that discovering Hashem behind that is so hidden because it's coming from a much higher place, says the Maharal. Let's understand what that means. Mi yodea eze nes ayoter gado. Kriyat yamsuf o nefachu shal nes Purim. It seems to us on a superficial level that the miracle of Kriyat Yamsuf was a greater miracle. Because that was a big sound and light show, and that was a transformation of nature. That was something that doesn't happen every day. But the Purim story is almost something that you could say happens every day. It would be hard for us to imagine a miracle like Kriyat Yamsuf happening now. That would blow our minds. That's totally different. Whoever thought. But for a miracle to happen where the right person was at the right place at the right time, times 20, man, it just happened to work out that everything was like, what a coincidence! How crazy is that? That all those different points came together. For us, that wouldn't seem like such a big deal. That would seem to us more simple. But from the Maharal's perspective, as we're going to develop, that's a greater miracle. Because it's an expression of Hashem having come more down into our world. Meaning, if you like, when you're talking about a supernatural miracle, then it's almost like you've viewed Hashem in His world. Meaning you've left this world and seeing supernatural things taking place. That doesn't mean Hashem is with you. It's like you're watching a show. But it doesn't mean Hashem is with you. However, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being revealed in our world, in a world which is very broken down to earth, and it's where we exist and where we live, that means we're becoming aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on even a lower level. And the world of Kabbalah, that would mean that you're able to appreciate Hashem in the world of Asiyah. It's where you're holding. That's a greater miracle. I know it seems like the opposite, because you would think, no, it's greater if it's more lofty and spiritual. But that's less great, because that means Hashem is still in His own place. He hasn't yet come down to our world. He's not relating to us on that same level. It's a greater miracle when He's involved in our world. Ela kol neis kefi matzav ador v'tzrachav. Yetziv Mitzrayim hayu tzrachim lilmod ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu ador kol ha'aretz. The goal that Hashem would come to teach us was that everything in this world that looks to you natural is actually run by Hashem. Things really are supernatural. Even the natural is supernatural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can override the whole system of nature. However, in Galut Parasu Madai, he had to learn a different message. That Hashem is involved in history. And that Hashem is active, and even things that look to us, and this is actually mamash what we were learning recently in Ali Shor in part 1, where even things to, in the concept of Emunah, even things that to us look like they're natural, and to us look like they're running independently, even those things are Hashem. I mean, the Jews coming out of Mitzrayim, they may have learned the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can override nature. But they didn't necessarily learn the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nature as well. They didn't see that. Right? They were saying Hashem can override the whole system. He's very powerful. But what about day to day when I'm eating my regular food? They learned that Hashem can bring down man. There can be supernatural involvement with Hashem. But they didn't learn that if you're living in the land of Israel and you're planting a seed, is that Hashem as well? That they could figure that out maybe, but that's not the message they were being taught. They were being taught that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a supernatural one. Here in the story of Purim, they were learning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved with the history very much in our world. And that's an even greater miracle because we're seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more active in our day-to-day life. Yitachen ki gova shnei nisim hu echad. In the deeper sources, he would learn Kabbalah, but he wouldn't ever quote it. Or if he did, it was like Hadar Hadar. He would just say Sfarim Kadoshim. But he quotes here, and I think he's talking about Shahad Gilgulim of the student of the Arizal. It says that Mordechai emanates from the same source of neshama as Moshe Rabbeinu. Yesh lomar ki gam anisim shenasu al yedei shnehem ba'u mimakom gavot. Meaning they both had the same goal. They both, Mordechai and Moshe, who were the same root soul, both had the goal of teaching Am Yisrael about Hashem in this world. It's a two different stages. Mordechai was bringing Hashem down into this world to a level just above ours. You're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu above nature. And Mordechai was bringing a revelation of Hashem in this world within nature. So we're able to see Him in our day-to-day life. The Maharal speaks about this in his book, Or Chadash. This is commentary on Megillat Esther. And he reveals to us how did was Mordechai and Esther, how are they zochet to this? How are they able to bring out an expression of Hashem in this world? Hamidah aruiga lenes he rak tzniut. That's going to be our key word for this this approach to Purim. The tzniut that both Mordechai and that Esther had, the way that they behaved, enabled the midah keneged midah of the discovering Hashem, who's tzanua, who's hiding in nature. Mordechai min haTorah minayim. The Gemara asks in Chulin, where do we know Mordechai from? In the five books of Moshe. As it says, Mar Doror, and the Targum Unculus translates Mar Doror as Mordechai. So Mordechai is alluded to in the Keturis. That's where he's alluded in the Torah, in the Keturis, which was brought on Yom Kippur, Lifnai v'Lifnim, in the place which was the most tzadua place. And even the other days of the year, when they would bring Keturis, they would also bring it in the Mizbeach HaZahav, which was in the Hechal. And all the other Kohanim had to leave at the time when the Kohen Gadol would bring the Keturis. Not only on Kippur, the whole year through, the whole year out, because the Keturah had to be bought in privacy, when there was no one else around. Meaning Mordechai's allusion in the Torah, his source in the Torah, is revealed to as chashai, something hidden. As the Gemara says, Yavo devar sheva chashai, yechaper al devar chashai shevo loshon hara. Esther also is the pinnacle of tzniut, as the Gemara says about her, v'schar tzniut shaita barachel, Zachta v'yatza mimena Shaul, uv'schar tzniut shaita b'Shaul, zachta v'yatza mimenu Esther. The Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Gimel speaks about the tzniut that she emanated from Shaul, and emanated all the way back from Rachel. And the Gemara also by her in Chulin says Esther min haTorah minayim v'anochi astir astir panay, meaning she is the hiddenness of the hiddenness, and that's what we were like in Galut. We were in the Galut then, we've been exiled in the Beit HaMikdash, and Kodesh Baruch Hu was absolutely hidden. Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't to be found at all. I just add in brackets, parentheses, I love this story. The Rosh Hashiva of Greenberg often used to tell this story, and the name is the Baal Shem Tov. He said, the Baal Shem Tov was once walking in his little village, and he saw a girl crying. He went up to her and he said, little girl, why are you crying? And she said, I was playing hide and seek, machboim, and they stopped looking for me. So she was there hiding, and there was no one looking. And the Baal Shem Tov started crying together with her. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also crying the same tears. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hid. And his whole goal of hiding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's whole purpose and why he concealed himself in this world, was that we would feel the lacking and we would go and look for Hashem. We would feel we need to find you, Hashem, and connect to you. And then we stopped looking. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying because he was also playing hide and seek with the goal that we would come and find him. And the Jewish people stopped seeking out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying as well. And that happened in that Galut. He was sent out of Yerushalayim, he came to Babel. Initially there was a desire to come back, and at the feast of Ahasuerus we declared that we're not looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. We can celebrate, we have a king, we have a land, we have a language. You see that by the fact that the numbers that came back at that time of Ezra and Nehemiah were pathetic. We reached a stage where we stopped looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hester plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu went wrong. He hid in order that we would look for him, and we stopped looking for him. But the goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiding, was the only someone who himself is hiding, meaning that they have an inner spiritual world, which they're not doing to show off to other people, which they're not doing in order to be a public figure, that everyone else thinks that they are religious. But they have their own tzniut, their own hiding of their spirituality. They are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a concealed way, in a concealed manner. Only they will be able to find Hashem. They will be the only ones who will be able to find Hashem, because they are like Hashem. They are also concealed. They are avert Hashem. It's not something which they are showing off. The Maharal is teaching us something very deep. The times of Haman, there was a Hester Pan. Lo haya ra'ul yod goel, rak Esther. Shemorah Shema Godel Tzniut. In a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so hidden, you can't have someone who's Avodat Hashem is external, going and finding Hashem. Only someone who themselves is tsanua, nistar, built in the glen. Her prayer, which was coming from a deep, hidden inner place, was able to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he himself was hiding. Like Esther had, and like Mordechai had. That's all the language of the Maharal. Only someone like Mordechai and Esther, who have that trait, they're able to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that state. So, what we're learning from the Maharal is that the day of Purim is a day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself in a hidden way. And that's obvious to all of us. When you look at Purim, you can't always see Hashem there. When you look at the mitzvot, and you see the way that the average person on the street relates to Purim, it's a day where Hashem is least revealed. He's hidden. When people are having a party and they're drinking and they're singing and they're... Is Hashem involved there? Are they mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Someone could come and ask and say, Purim's a fun day, but where's God in all of that? I can clearly see where God is in Yom Kippur. It's a full day of devoting ourselves to God, and we mention God many times. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Olam Ve'ed. We come to the day of Purim, and the entire text that we read doesn't mention Hashem once. And the way that many people relate to the day doesn't mention Hashem at all. And the behavior is not mentioning Hashem either. And in fact, there's a holy minhag that we wear a mask and we dress up. It's almost as if we're saying, this is the essence of the day. It's a day which is hidden. The day where revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which you have to reveal because it's concealed. The concept of getting dressed up on Purim, the concept of wearing a mask is essentially you're saying, I know that everything is to show. I know that in order for me to relate to the authenticity, I have to go beyond the mask to be able to relate to the authentic. Only someone who has an inner world, who knows that they're wearing a mask, and they have an inner world beyond that mask, is someone who's tanua, because they have an inner deep world, not just what they're showing off to other people, that's a person who will be able to relate to the day, and to be able to draw out the spirituality of the day. Hatzneh lechet im Hashem Elokecha. The Gemara says in Sukkah, "Zu hotzat amet v'achnasat kala l'chupa, v'halod devarim kala l'chomer. Ma devarim shedarkan lasot b'farhesia amra Torah tznelechet. If the things are done very publicly, a levaya is very public, taking a kala to l'chupa is very public, and about those the Torah says that you should do them in a way where Hashem is hidden within you, tznelechet im Hashem yachal, go in a way which is a." In a private way almost, in a humble way, a modest way. So how much more so the things that they themselves are private, you have to relate to them in a private manner. You see here what the Gemara is saying is, it's not saying to be private about private things, that's obvious. Obviously you should be private about your kavana in davening. That's something where the matter itself is private. You're not supposed to go and like tell everyone, oh, you know what level of kavanah I had in my davening today. The matter itself is private. Obviously, you have to be private there. You wouldn't need the pasuk at Sneh Lechatim Hashem Elokecha about that. But the Gemara here is coming and telling us that even about matters which are public, you're walking along in a levaya, you're going along and dancing along in bringing the chatan and kara to the... Even there, do you have an inner world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you? Or are you kind of losing yourself to the externality of the matter? Let's have fun, guys. Let's have fun. Let's dance. Or Leviah, let's act now as if we're kind of appropriate for the somber, morose situation that we're in as we walk along. But it's more about a show. It's more about how am I supposed to be acting in this case? I will act accordingly. But what about the inner world? Is that Kodesh Baruch Hu accompanying you at that point? Are you connecting all this back to Hashem? Is there a tsanuo inner world in those external things? Misham lomdim bekal vachomer al davar shebetzina. Habechina in yesh ba'adam tzniut hu be'inyanim shel persum. It's not a test if you have an inner world in things that are inner world matters. It's a test if you have an inner world in things that are public matters. Do you only do it because of what's public? Or are you able to say, I will act in public the way that one is supposed to act in public, for sure, but I have my own inner thoughts about how I'm relating to this how I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this, how I'm responding to this, and what, how I'm growing from it. Because I have it in a world of tzniut. Al shem, al im sham hu mastir atzmo, hu bemet tanua. If when we come to a public thing, a public matter, so let's take an example of a wedding. Some people, when they go to the wedding, the peak of what they want to do in the wedding is when the chosan kara on the chair, and the circle goes around, and they can go in the middle of the circle. And they can do all their shows. Whatever they want to show off to everyone else. That's why they came to the wedding. They came to show off. If it's a mitzvah as well, matov, like the great bonus, like it's doing a mitzvah as well, but like the reason I came. And you have some people who come to the wedding, and they come to the wedding, and they're standing at the chuppah, and they're davening for the chosan and kara. They're davening they should have shalom bayis. They're davening they should have children. They're davening the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. Some people are standing in the chuppah, and they're looking at the flowers. They're wondering what, they're checking what's going to be for the main course. Like, there's all sorts of things you can do at the wedding. But there's an external act taking place. It's a public act. But in a public act, you can have an inner world. You can take something external, and you can recognize there's an inner world in that. Dafke, those external things, is where you have a test if you have an inner world. The galus is the time which is totally external, because we're external. We're away from our Beit HaMikdash. That's a time where you're being tested. Are you now going to relate to Hashem? Do you have an inner tzanua world, which is you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When you walk in the street and something doesn't go your way, do you talk to Hashem about it? Do you say, Hashem, I recognize this is from you. How can I grow from it? How can I learn? Do you turn it into a tefillah? The Gemara says you should do that. The Gemara says as you're about to walk into a town, if there's a prayer you should say, your entry should be safe. Once you've got in the town, then you use the prayer to say, thank you for helping me get in safely. As you're about to leave, again you pray that your leaving should be safe, and as you've left, you pray again. Meaning, if you want to take that to the relevance of our day, today, if you come to cross the street, you should be saying a prayer, Hashem, may I cross the street safely? And when you get to the other side of the road, you should say again, thank you for this world, help me get it safely. And it's not some formal text, which appears on Art Scroll page 323, one should thou shalt say it. It should be natural. You have it in our world. You walk with a sense of modesty, because it's not about other people. It's not about how do I look in my service of God. It's not about what's expected of me in my service of God. It's something which is public, but I have my own inner way of relating to it. When Esther was appointed the queen, she didn't tell anyone where she came from. She was very public. She was the queen. And she still was able to retain a sense of, I have my own inner world. I have my people. I have my God. And I'm relating to my God. Even though I'm on show, so I'm still able to have my own inner world, despite the fact that I'm on show. Now, this is also ironic here, because Purim is the last time you would think we would speak about this. You think we would speak about this on Yom Kippur, which is a very private day. Maybe on Tisha B'Av, a very private day. You're not supposed to be with other people. You're having a Siddur of Sekis. You're supposed to sit separately. That's a day of Hitzne Lecha, you would think. But Dafka not. Because that day, anyway, it's natural that you're Tzanu. But on the day which is most public, is the day we're most in danger of becoming external people. Of, it's about the mitzvot, it's about the drinking, it's about the making a show. Who's going to sing the loudest? Who's going to make the biggest scene? Dafka on that day is where you reveal if you have an inner world. So where there's a mitzvot, Pirsume Nisa, and it's all about being loud and external, you can ask yourself, where does it come from within me? Is it coming from a deep place, or is it coming from a shown external place? Hine, im kol neis purim haya mitcholel b'tzniut, have omer, ki gam b'pirsum ha-neis, tzricha liot tzniut. The whole miracle of Purim, God wasn't revealed. You don't see God's name, because God wasn't about showing off. Different to Pesach. Pesach, God was about showing off. He wanted the entire world to know that He runs the world. It was external, to some degree. Purim is about, I'm in my day-to-day life, I'm in my day-to-day inner world, I'm doing my own thing, is God with me there as well? And the message of Purim was, that when you're involved in your mundane things, your everyday things, Hashem is there, guiding every step of the way along the way. And if you have an inner world, you have a tzniut, or you have an inner private world where you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll live your life with Hashem constantly. That was a new level that Hashem came into the world on. He wasn't in the world on that level until then. And we have the opportunity of Purim, the most external day of our calendar, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into our very private lives. Be'emet, kol pirsum shel neis, kavanato la'hargil otanu b'mabat tzanua. The whole idea of publicizing the miracle is that we then learn, what does that mean in my inner world? L'mashmeish ta'neis b'hastarato, le'ot anachnu tznuim. That's the chiddush of the Maharal. How do you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Hashem's hiding? He's hiding. So how do you come close to Him? He's not around. He's not external. So that's where you can come close to Him on a much deeper level. Just like the story of that girl. She suddenly discovered that she has an inner world. She doesn't need other people to look for her. She can discover that she has an own inner world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed, it's easy. There He is. Lekei liv ha'aveihu. It's easy. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding, you have to look within. And you have to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists within you. Im be'emet hu yitbarach mastir panav, halo hu ro'eh u'mashgiach u'ma'ir panav, rak letznuim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself publicly to everyone. All the Jews were there, all the Jews saw that. In this level, only people who are sensitive and have an inner world will be able to relate to Hashem. You have people who know about Hashem externally, but have never related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an inner world. They don't see Hayat Hashem in their lives. They don't talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a one-to-one basis. And Hashem is hidden for them. He's hidden for them totally. Because although Hashem is within them, they've never looked that deeply to discover Hashem. They're hiding from Hashem. And they haven't opened that inner world to relate to Him. When Hashem is hiding, only people who themselves are tsanua, meaning they are not about public, they're about, I have my own inner world, they're able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it could be that no one else in the world will know about your relationship with Hashem. But you'll develop a very deep, close connection to Hashem by being tsanua. Tzniut hi tamid mida elyona ba'adam. In bahaster panim, ritzono litkarev al boro, utzorach latzniya lechet kiflayim, ba'ad yom tzeehu. If you have an agenda to tell other people about whatever you're doing, whatever level you've reached, then by definition you haven't reached this level. If you're able to feel a closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not need to tell it, if you can do a mitzvah privately, you did an act of kindness to someone, privately, and no one knows about it, and you don't have a need to tell someone about it, you have this midah. Work on that. Do good things to other people. Learn extra Torah. Daven something with more kavana. And don't share it with a soul. It's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a secret, the two of you. You know how when you want to be really close with someone? Only the two of you know something and no one else in the world knows it. Then you're really close. Because you have a unique bond between you. You and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have a unique bond. Just the two of you know about that extra mitzvah that you did. Just the two of you know about the extra learning that you did. No one else knows. The moment you tell someone else, it's no longer between the two of you. Zuhi segulat Purim. Zuha hora'ash la'chara kadosh hazeh. This is the message of Purim, the segulat Purim. That whilst we're hidden from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't give up hope and become external. On the day of Purim, yesh derech leitkarev la'foch ha'hester le'arot panim. The derech zut tzniut. I'll just say as I stand up, Rav Yisrael Sarante used to drink on Purim so much that he would get drunk like Lot. Now, whoever knows what happened to Lot. So his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, should we drink as well? So he said, if you have an inner world that you're sure that the only things that will come out when you drink will be Torah and Yirat Shemayim, you can drink. And there was another rabbi, a great rabbi there who remained nameless, who said, I would be scared to drink how much he drinks. Because I'm not sure what I would say. I'm not sure of my own inner world, if it's so holy, if it's so pure. And if I'll just get the drink. So should you drink or shouldn't you drink? Depends on your inner world. If you're sure, and you know, that your inner world is so pure, that when you drink, the only thing that's going to come out is a yishtovukus for Hashem, a yearning for Hashem. And I've had it, my Purim Suda, every year people like it. Where they get drunk, and from a place of drunken state, they don't insult anyone, they're not rude to anyone, they just daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that pure inner place. Then it's okay. However, if a person has any doubt at all that maybe becoming drunk they would offend someone, they would upset with someone, or they would miss out on a mitzvah of benching or davening marit, then it's not worth it.